All right, now I know you guys got a bulletin tonight, most of you, I'm sure. Make sure you have a pen. You'll want to fill in the blanks and write down some stuff. I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you on how to, we're going to be talking about some cool stuff tonight. But here's the thing. I remember being in high school, and I remember raging hormones, all right? I remember being in high school so much so that had I gotten a bulletin in my youth group that the outline had these letters, S-E-X, oh man, what? What is this guy doing? We can't talk about this in church. Oh man, this is a topic that we usually only discuss in like health class and tell jokes to our friends, and then every once in a while there's that dreaded talk with the parents, right? And other than that, we don't really talk about it. Well, we're going to hit it tonight. We are going to talk about it tonight. This topic of sex, all right? Now, I want you guys to be comfortable with me saying that. Sex, all right? Now, in fact, let's just all get comfortable with it. Say it with me. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Sex. Okay, no. Okay. You guys have to grasp this, all right? We have to be comfortable with this if we're ever going to get anything out of this topic tonight. You guys ready? 1, 2, 3. Sex. Very nice. Give yourselves a hand. Good job. Good job. Okay. Kind of a hard subject, I know. And you guys are like, well, my mom said I can't say that at church, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it's like, but we're going to talk a lot about it tonight. I know how it is. I know the temptations that are out there. I know that you guys probably face even more temptations than I did when I was your age. I know that it's a big deal. And so let's get comfortable with this topic tonight, because that God's word talks a lot about it. And that's why I've had you guys turn to this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, some of you guys thought when I started saying this word, sex, you're like, oh man, I can't believe he said that in church. That's crazy. Who is this guy? What is this guy doing? I don't think I can tell my parents that I'd listen to this tonight, right? Now, here's the thing. Sex is God's idea. Do you understand that? It's not yours. It's not anybody else's. God planned it. God created it. Okay, let's think about it. You guys know the story. All the way back, the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve. God did not create them wearing clothes, all right? They were what we would like to refer to as butt naked, all right? So here's the thing. God created them that way. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam, all by himself, first of all, his job is to name the animals. Ooh, fun job. So he's naming the animals. Then God says, you know what, Adam? You probably shouldn't be by yourself. In fact, that's a bad idea for you to be by yourself. So here you go. Here's your naked wife. God created Eve for him. Now, what immediately started taking place? We know the word that we all just said, right? And God never up in heaven went, oh, what are they doing? Oh my, oh, that's, oh, I did not. No, he created it, okay? It was his idea. But our society has perverted it. They have taken it to levels and begun to do things with it that are completely wrong and completely against God's plan for it. Unfortunately, sex itself often gets a bad rap. But tonight, what I want you guys to understand is that lust is the real problem. I brought this book with me. You guys have probably heard of it. It's by Joshua Harris. It's called Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is. They've got a few of these left in the bookstore. I would encourage you guys to read through this. This is a killer book on this subject. And it's not scared to say it how it is. We're actually going through this book this summer with our middle school students. But this is good enough for you guys. And you guys can learn a lot on how to stay pure from this book. All right? Now, tonight, here we are talking about this big issue, sex. And we're talking about how it's worth the wait. Now, I already said our culture is kind of submerged in this idea of sex. It's everywhere. It's in movies. It's on TV. It's on the internet. It's on your cell phone. It's on your PSP. It's everywhere. Everywhere you turn, it is accessible. And the moment somebody blocks something or tells you you can't go there, you know where else you can go. It's everywhere. It's so hard, in fact, to guard ourselves against it. Now, let me ask you guys this, on a serious note. Can we be mature in this room tonight? Can we talk about some subjects that when I say certain words, they might make you a little uncomfortable? Can we discuss those things tonight? Or should I just say, well, your mommy and daddy, you know, really loved each other, and then the stork came, and that's how you came here. We're not going to say that tonight, okay? You're in high school. I know you know how it works, okay? So we're going to hit some subjects tonight that are going to be a little uncomfortable. And I have to admit, I haven't said some of these things ever in front of a big audience like this. But we're going to talk about these things tonight because I believe that the church, oftentimes, even in fact me, we have lost reality. We have kind of lost touch of reality. In fact, some of these subjects are so uncomfortable at times that we don't even want to discuss them. And I don't want to lose that sense of reality. It's time tonight to be open, to be honest, and to say it how it is. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. So I expect maturity out of you guys tonight. Now, you guys may know this. I read that sex is the number one searched for topic on the internet. Not surprising. Number one above everyone and everything else, the word sex is the topic researched the most on the internet. Unfortunately, the internet is probably the number one worst place to ever search for that topic, because you get all kinds of wacky stuff. Here's an example for you. May make you a little uncomfortable. Sorry, that stinks. This is information found on the internet telling teens, in fact, it's a site about teen advice that's supposed to give teenagers advice on sexual things, all right? Check this out. The title is Masturbation, What's So Funny? So I won't read all of it, it's really long, but he says, technically, the only funny thing about masturbation is that it's fun. Since we can't comfortably discuss masturbation in polite company, we are forced to make light of it in order to open up any kind of dialogue. Dialogue that we desperately want to have. Dialogue that teens need to have. Then it goes on. Here's where it got me. I was reading this, and I was so sad that this is on the internet for people your age to find. Says the facts are simple. Masturbation is not only normal, it is healthy. It is a milestone in sexual development and discovery, and it is an essential part of understanding how to enjoy your body. Guys masturbate, girls masturbate, and safe sex advocates swear that mutual masturbation is both a pleasurable and intimate expression of love. And then check this out. Many a virgin will tell you that masturbation keeps them pure. And almost every guy, and maybe even girls, I don't know, will tell you that it keeps them sane when teenage hormones take over their body. Did you hear that? It keeps you pure. That's what the internet tells you. That is a bad place to receive your advice on sex, okay? The great thing is the Bible is an incredible place because it's God's idea. The internet was not God's idea. God laid everything out for us here on how to follow, how to live for Him. That's what we're going to discuss tonight. So that was one article. Now, I know some of you guys, all of you guys are in high school, seniors. How many seniors in the room? Nice, very cool. Almost done with school, almost for good, right? How many seniors are going to college? Very cool. Continuing the learning, very nice. You're going to be scholars. Congratulations. Well, I don't want you to think that, oh man, finally, when I get out of high school, all my problems will be over. Whew, no more temptation. Let me break it to you. That is not the way it is, okay? Another news article written by a Christian company, the Christian Broadcasting Network. The title is Generation Sex: Promiscuity Makes the Grade on Campus. Same thing, we won't read all of it, but let me just give you the highlights. It says, many college kids throw themselves into soulless sex, a series of meaningless sexual encounters often fueled by almost killer amounts of alcohol. So what's going on behind these walls in universities around the country? Alice, not her real name, just graduated from college and said, some of my friends like will wake up in the morning and go, like, who is this person next to me? Now I'm obviously reading like she actually talks, but goes on Valentine's Day, they pass out condoms and little worksheets on how to have safe sex. One doctor said, most college young people are involved in sexual activity of some type or the other. At least 75% have been involved in sexual intercourse. One other person said, there is a member of the Berkeley faculty, a school who specializes in pornography. They have movies we can check out, and they have a special collection for her class with pornographic films. It goes on. Why would college kids choose to lead such a libertine lifestyle? Doctor says, many literally do not know any better. No adults have ever told them they should or even can lead lives of sexual purity. He says this is as true for Christians as non-believers. And this is the part that hit me. The Christian church isn't taking this seriously. Indeed, the rates of promiscuity among Christian young people are almost as high as those among youthful non-believers. There's only a 4% difference in the Christian kids' sexual activity and the secular kids' sexual activity. That's sad. We have taken this idea of sex and perverted it so far that we have left God's idea of it, and now the church looks just like the world when we analyze it. That's sad. And I hope tonight, like it said in this paragraph here, it said that... he says this is true for Christians and non-believers, and that no one has ever told them that they can live lives of sexual purity. Well, let me just break that right now. You can live lives of sexual purity. You absolutely can. Not on your own, but by relying on God and following His guidance, you absolutely can if you trust Him. And that's what we're going to discuss tonight as we study. So it's time for these statistics to change. And tonight we're going to look at three things about the war against lust, not against sex, because we remember tonight, sex is not the enemy. It's lust that we have to battle against. So we're going to learn three things about this battle. We're also going to learn three ways to win, three things that we need to fight against lust. And then at the end, I'm going to challenge you, maybe some of you, in fact, statistically, half of you in this room are sexually active right now. Maybe some of you are, maybe you wouldn't call yourself sexual active, but you're not living a pure life. Tonight at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, you know what, I haven't been living purely, but tonight I want to take a stand and I want to trust in God's plan for this purity and I want to live for it. At the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to do that. So if you're in your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's read our whole passage tonight starting in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. And then verse 8, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So number one, if you want to take some notes, God's will is moral sanctification. Now, it's pretty rare, if you guys have read the whole Bible, you know, it's pretty rare to find a place that it says, this is God's will for your life. A lot of people are wondering what it is. And in fact, I've even had people ask me, hey, Kevin, you're a pastor. What's God's will for my life? And I say, well, have you asked him? Oh, I didn't even think about that. God will make it very clear if you seek after it. But there's a lot of places in the Bible where you can find this phrase, God's will. but it's not always so clear. A lot of times it's saying pray for God's will or live according to God's will, but it rarely says this is God's will. In fact, I could only find 3 times in the whole Bible that it said this so specifically. Let me give you these verses. Write these down. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we just read it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. The second one, later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then the third one, later on in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So let me spell out God's will for your life. It is to do good, to be thankful in everything, and to live a sexually pure life. 3 times it says this is God's will, and we just read each one of them. Now this is not a suggestion. This is a command. When God says, this is my will for you to do, this is what he is commanding us to do. Now, when something is important for us to do, we're often commanded to do it, right? Okay, think about it. You're at home, and of course, I know what it's like to be a guy in high school. You like fire, right? And you're burning something somewhere where you're not supposed to be, and you light yourself on fire. Okay, you're burning all of a sudden. Now, let's say you run out of your room and you don't know what to do. Now, you'd be an idiot if you didn't know what to do. But let's just say you run up to your mom. Mom, I'm on fire! Okay, now what's your mom going to do? Oh, wow, you are. That's weird. I've never had a kid that burned before. What should we do about this? Let's see. You know what? Let me call your dad real quick, and let's just get him on the phone, and maybe we can all 3 have a conference call and try to figure out what we should do about this, okay? Or maybe your mom's on the phone. Mom, I'm burning! Hold on. Excuse me, I'm on the phone right now, okay? Keep your flames to yourself, and I'll be with you in just a moment. Now, she's not going to say that. She is going to start screaming commands, right? Stop, drop, and roll! Where's the water? You know, she's going to be screaming. Why? Because she's commanding it. This isn't just a suggestion. She is telling you, you have to do this. You're going to die. It's not going to turn out good unless you just want to be like charred all the rest of your life. You have to do this. And so when there is something that is so important, we will often be commanded to do it. And God does not take sexual purity lightly. And that is why he commands it. And he says, this is my will for your life. So some of you guys are thinking, I guess because I could read your minds, I don't know. You're thinking, okay, I understand, Kevin, that God's will for my life is sanctification. That's nice. Moral sanctification. What does that mean? I don't even know who. What? I don't get it. What's sanctification? I don't get it. Let me define it for you because I'm glad you asked that question. Let me define it. Sanctification is holiness, dedication to the Lord, and or moral purity. It's also God's predetermined state for believers. It's the place that God wants us to be. It's the place that if we allow him to work in our lives, we one day will be. We are in the process of sanctification. This is where God wants us to be, sanctified, holy, where we're on our way if we trust in the Lord. Now, this isn't a word that we use all the time. That's why we don't really understand it, you know? Your mom doesn't say, excuse me, it's dinner time. Have you sanctified your hands before we eat? She didn't say that, right? Hey, Mom, since we're at Walmart, I need some shampoo so I can sanctify my hair. You don't say that, right? But it has a similar meaning. Basically, cleanse, purify. So that's kind of what we're getting at here. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that verse again, in the New Living Translation says, God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. So verse 4 tells us exactly what's expected of us. It says verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, in holiness and respect. tells us what to do. But right after we're told what to do, it tells us what not to do. Look at verse 5. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. So we know God's will is moral sanctification. But verse 5 gives us number 2, the world's idea, instant enjoyment. Now you guys know how it is. You want what you want when you want it, right? That's just how it is. That's why we have drive-thrus. That's why we have one-hour photo. That's why we have these places where we can go and get exactly what we want almost instantaneously. We live in a society that enjoys instant gratification. Now, how many of you guys enjoy, or let me put it a different way, rely on caffeine to wake you up in the morning? Anybody? You got to have coffee or like 7 Mountain Dews to wake up in the morning, like a pack of Red Bull or something, right? And Starbucks or something like that. And you have to have that to wake up. Okay, well, I found out today that now you don't even have to wait on that, because a company has just produced this thing called Shower Shock Soap. And it has caffeine inside of it so that as you wash yourself, the caffeine soaks into your skin and gives you the same kick as 2 cups of coffee. Can you believe that? 12 servings per bar, 4-ounce bar, and it gives you hundreds of milligrams of caffeine that soak in through your skin. Now, I know some of you guys are already thinking, dude, I would never wash that soap off, you know? You just walk out and you're covered in lathers of soap. How many bars of soap did you use? You know, you're bouncing off the walls everywhere, right? But it's great because you don't have to get in the shower, be all groggy, get out, dry yourself off, walk out to the kitchen, kind of stumbling around. You're already wired. You're ready to go. You don't have to wait any longer. That's how our world is. Instant gratification. But there's a big contrast here between believers and those who are not following God's plan for their lives. Because it says in verse 4, those who know God should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And then verse 5, the contrast, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Now, what do you guys think the key phrase in that last verse is? Anybody? Key phrase in that last verse, verse 5, right at the end, does not know God. That's the key. They do not know God. Because here is how you gain victory over sexual sin: a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're kind of hopeless right now. You don't have a lot going for you. The Bible makes it very clear. And it's those who do not know God that continue to live this way. Now, speaking of instant enjoyment, maybe you're in a dating relationship right now where you feel kind of pressured to go further physically. Maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend is pressuring you, maybe just to go a little bit further, maybe to go all the way with them, whatever it may be. Let me just let you in on a little secret. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend is pressuring you to go physically and they know you don't want to, they don't love you. Get out of that relationship now. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says that love is, does anybody know? Patient. What does patient mean? It means you wait. It means you hang out and you wait for God's timing. Them pressuring you right now is not patient, therefore it is not love. And as much as they may say it to you, they do not love you. Get out of that relationship before it's too late, before you are pressured in to that situation. Now, the world loves to disguise sin and make it look really appealing. In fact, it's really good at it. I read also today about a product. British company is selling this. It is literally a packet of nothing. Okay? Now, check this picture out. It's a packet of nothing that they sell. And in fact, it says this: nothing for the person who has everything. And it goes on, open the pack and be enthralled when nothing happens. Allow nothing to flow through your mind and soul. Savor the moment. Soon you'll discover that nothing really is so much better than something. And then it goes on, suitable for ages 14 and up. Now, I don't know what 13-year-olds are going to have a problem with nothing for, but they say, don't mess with nothing until you're 14, okay? So 14 and up can have this product, and nothing is on sale now for $6.99 plus shipping and handling. So you can get a pack of nothing in the mail for 10 bucks, or you could pay me $5 and I'll just hand it to you tonight, okay? Because there's nothing. There's literally nothing. But they've packaged it in a way that people actually buy these things. On this site, there are user reviews of this. People who have used their nothing. And they say how great it is. People are crazy. But it's the way things are packaged in a way to make them look appealing, and people fall for it. We, even at times, fall for it. Satan is really good at this. He's really good at packaging things in a way that they look appealing. You guys see it all the time. Beer commercials, right? Basically tell us that if we have the right kind of beer and a nice grill, that all of a sudden, guys, you're going to have tons of bikini-clad women dancing around you, you know? That's what it makes it seem like. Like, if I have that right kind of beer, they must come out of the mountains, you know, to come find me. That's not how it works, guys, if you didn't notice. Satan is very good at disguising these things. He's disguising sin to make it look appealing when we know what's really behind it. Now, let me just say something that's not normally said in church, as if we haven't already done that tonight. But let me just say one more thing. Sin is fun. Sin is fun. I'll tell you that right now. Sin is a blast until the consequences set in. And then it's not worth it anymore. Then you wish you would have never done it. Because then comes pain and guilt. And you wish, man, it's no wonder God told me to live this way. I should have done that. Because if you follow God, there is no regret. There is no pain. God has it all mapped out and all planned for us. And instant enjoyment is just that. It only lasts for an instant. Because when you're seeking instant gratification, it's not going to last that long. You have to be patient. And I can tell you that when you're patient, it's worth it. So we know God's will, moral sanctification, the world's idea, instant enjoyment. And next we get a command, another command, verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Our command, number 3, is to be living examples. Living examples. And that finishes our little SEX outline. Sanctification, enjoyment, and examples. Now, here's another thing that's not just a suggestion. To live as an example. Maybe tonight you heard, oh, we're talking about sexual purity, and you kind of tuned me out. It's okay, you don't offend me. But let me tell you this, your problem tonight is not with me, it's with God. And it's with His Word. Because His Word, as we just read, lays it out very clearly as to how we should live. And it says at the end, verse 8, therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. If tonight you're sitting here, you're like, man, I don't want to even listen to this. I am having fun in the relationship that I'm in right now. It feels good. I have lots of friends. When I'm done with this girl, I know I've got girls lined up for me. Unfortunately, that's the way people think. And unfortunately, they care so much about that they're not willing to give this thing up to serve Jesus and to live for something that's worth so much more. So we're to be living examples. And this is far beyond a good idea. This is God's idea. This is His plan for our lives. Verse 7 again says, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. At the end of verse 8, It says God has given us His Holy Spirit. One guy said this, it's not for nothing that the Spirit God gives us is called the Holy Spirit. We are to live lives of holiness. So how do we become living examples? We're going to talk real quickly, three things you need to fight against lust. Three things that you need to have to fight against lust. Number one is distance. Verse 3, we just read, says you should abstain from sexual immorality. People sometimes ask me, man, Kevin, this is, you know, I'm struggling with this or I'm dealing with this and it's so hard, I don't know what to do. And I ask them what movies they go to, what they watch on TV, what magazines they read, what music they listen to. And it's no wonder that they're struggling with sexual sin when they're listening to and looking at and watching and hearing the things that they're allowing themselves to. Because some of that stuff out there is trash. Some of the music out there, a lot of the music out there, is like pornography for your ears. It's terrible. When I go to the mall, half the time I feel like I need to shield my eyes from the mannequins, you know, the way they're dressed. Everywhere you look, it's surrounding us. And in this book by Joshua Harris, he says, why would I want to gain enjoyment or soak my mind in the sins that Jesus had to shed His blood to free us from? Good thought. Why in the world, how could we as followers of Christ find pleasure in something that murdered Jesus? That's what sin does. Separates us from God. It put Jesus on the cross. Let me give you a few verses. Write these down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. 2 Timothy 2:22. This is a great one to remember. 2 Timothy 2:22. Very easy. It says, flee also youthful lusts. You know what flee means? Run away. Get as far away as possible from them. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you need distance. If you're going to fight this war against lust, you have to distance yourself from the things that are causing you to stumble. Whatever they are, you know what they are. Whether it's your computer or a magazine subscription or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or the music that you listen to, the friends that you hang with, whatever it may be, it could be a long list of things. You need to distance yourself from them, because I guarantee your relationship with Jesus Christ is much more important than any of those other things, no matter how much you love them. So you need distance. Number two, you need truthfulness. You have to be honest. You have to call it what it is. You have to look at your life and you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I'm tired of living hypocrisy. This is sin in my life and I have to stop. Guys, the way that you look at girls sometimes lustfully is sin. It's time to call it that. Girls, same thing. Don't think you're getting off, because you do the same thing with guys. The way that we look at other people, the other gender, with lust in our eyes is sin. The Bible says, Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Same goes for you girls. Now, you're like, but Kevin, I'm just admiring God's creation, you know? Whoo, praise Jesus for that one, right? No, that's wrong. That's sin. There's lust involved, all right? Guard your eyes. Guard your hearts from it. Girls, watch the way you dress. Dressing provocatively is sin. Don't let it be about your outward appearance. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about the importance of letting it be about your inner beauty, not your outer beauty. Watch the way that you dress. Watch the way that you look at other people. Anything outside of marriage that sexually arouses you is sin, and it's time to say that. It's time for us to call it what it is. To be honest with ourselves, to be honest with each other, and when you see your friend doing that thing, whatever it may be, say, man, that's sin. that's wrong. Let me help you with this. Let me pray for you. Can I hold you accountable to this? You have to be honest. You have to be truthful. So distance, truthfulness, and number three, openness. Statistically, for every 10 men in church, 5 are hooked on pornography. 5 of 10. The median age for the first use of pornography, boys, 11 to 13, girls, 12 to 14 years old, is the first time they see and often get hooked on pornography. Pornography revenue is larger. In other words, the pornography industry brings in more money than all combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. $57 billion per year is what the pornography industry brings in. People are consumed by it. There are literally people dying because they are drowning in pornography, in sin, in lust. That is not how God intended it. That's the opposite of how God wants it. But don't try to fight this battle alone. You have to be open. And as much as you have to be truthful with yourself, you have to be open and truthful with others as well. You know somebody your age, I'm sure, that maybe you feel like they're pretty strong in their walk with the Lord. Or maybe you guys even struggle on a similar issue. Get together with that guy if you're a guy, girl if you're a girl. Be honest with them. Maybe get together. I did this when I was in high school, and it helped a lot. I still messed up, but it helped a lot because I could get together, and I knew in the middle of the week when I was doing this or looking at that, that there was a possibility my friend later on in the week is going to ask me, hey, so any problems this week? Anything I can pray for you about? And my conscience would eat me up. I have to tell him about this. I can't lie to him. Find somebody that you can be open and honest with. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, again, the last thing I want you guys to do tonight is leave thinking, man, sex is bad. Because it's not. God created it. Remember what we talked about? It was God's idea. It's great within the confines of marriage. Within those boundaries, that is how God intended it. Now, maybe some of you don't have to raise your hands, but I've prayed this prayer before. Jesus, I'm really excited for you to come back, but I'd kind of like for you to wait until after I get married and can have sex at least once, you know? I mean, come on, Jesus, seriously, right? I mean, you know, I love you and all, but it'll be great. Just at least one time. Come on, please, right? Maybe you've prayed that prayer. And somebody goes like, not me. I don't do it. Yeah, right. Okay? That's okay if you don't want to admit it. That's all right. God is not trying to make your life hard. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to follow that plan. That's just like God setting up these rules so that my life will be hard and I won't have as much fun. That's what God's all about, is ruining my fun. Not at all. God is about making your life even better. And he knows that these rules and these guidelines he has set up, if you follow them, oh man, it's going to be so much better than you can even imagine. And I can tell you that from experience, coming from both sides. One side, messing up sexually outside of marriage. Then turning around, committing myself to a life of purity, committing myself to that, and seeing the rewards of that on the other side. I can tell you that when you follow God's plan, and I'm saying this again from experience, it's the best way to go. Sex is worth the wait. It is worth waiting for God's plan. And if you really love that person, if you really love yourself, and if you really love God, you're going to wait. You're going to be patient. So tonight, as I promised, I want to challenge you to take a stand for purity. Now, I understand this is kind of a hard thing to admit. But what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment is to take a stand if you want to take a stand for purity. Now, what you're going to be taking a stand for is basically when you stand, you're going to be saying, I'm not exactly in line with where God wants me to be right now. I've done this, I've done that, whatever it may be. You're not going to have to confess that. I'm not going to like have you come up here and confess your sins in the microphone, all right? It's nothing like that. But when you stand in just a moment, you're going to say, I've messed up. But tonight, I'm ready to make a commitment. And from here on out, I'm going to follow God's plan because I want what God wants for me. And maybe I know that there's a good possibility in here tonight that there are some of you who have never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Did you know that to get to heaven, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not about how sexually pure you stay or how great of friends you had or how many times you went to church or read the Bible. It's not about that. It's not about how great of a person you are. A lot of people say, well, I've been a pretty good person. I don't think a loving God would send somebody like me to hell. Well, that's wrong because your sin separates you from Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you'll never get there by anything you try to do. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So maybe that's you tonight and you want to take a stand and say, I want to give my life to the Lord. That's the first group that's going to stand in just a moment. You're going to have an opportunity to stand up in front of all these people, not so we can laugh about it, but so we can clap for you and tell you how awesome of a decision that is. We'll do that in just a moment. And then the second group will be those of you, whether or not you're a Christian, you want to stand tonight and say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to follow the way that he has planned. So right now, everybody's eyes are open. I'm not going to ask you to look down or anything like that. But right now, maybe there are some of you in here tonight that need to make a stand for Jesus Christ. You realize tonight you're lost, you're headed nowhere, your life is hopeless without Jesus. And right now, if you're in this room and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I ask you to stand up, to be bold, and to tell us so that we can congratulate you and point you in the right direction. Is there anybody here tonight that needs to take that step, that wants to go to heaven, and you're not sure tonight if you were to die, that you would end up there? Tonight is the night to make sure. Is there anybody here in this room? I know it's a bold step. Yeah, stand up, man. Stand up. Very nice. Rock on, man. Very cool. Anybody else? Stand up right now if that's you. If that's you, this is your opportunity. We've got one bold guy. Anybody else? That's awesome. Very cool. Let me do this for you. Very cool. Let me pray for you, okay? And I just ask you guys, just join us in prayer. Pray out loud. And what we're going to do here right now is you can repeat this out loud after me, okay? This isn't like a special code to get you into heaven, but this is a way to talk to God from your heart. And we're going to invite Jesus into your heart tonight and make sure that you're following the way that he has for you, all right? So pray this out loud after me. God, I invite you into my life. I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. Jesus, you died for me. You paid the price I deserved, and you rose again. Forgive me for my sin, and help me to live for you. Fill me with your Spirit, and let my life honor you. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we give him a hand? Awesome, man. Very cool. After service, come up and talk to me, all right? Okay, now one more opportunity. For those of you who maybe you've made that decision, maybe not, but tonight you say, you know what? I'm not on the road of sexual purity. Tonight, I want to take a stand. Right now is your opportunity. Stand up if you want to commit to that. Very cool. Anybody else? Awesome. Be bold. We're not here to make fun of you. We're excited that you're taking this step. God has a plan. Anybody else? Anybody else? Keep standing if this is you. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Now's your opportunity. I'll pray for you guys in just a moment. Awesome. Very cool. You have no idea what a privilege this is to see you guys stand and to see you guys understand that God has a plan that is so much better than we could ever plan. So let's do this. Same thing, same idea. Pray out loud with me. I'm going to pray for you. And let's just make sure that each of you, your hearts are right and you're headed on that path for sexual purity. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, forgive me for living a sinful life. Forgive me for the mistakes and the times I've been selfish, and help me to live for you. I understand that your word spells it out very clearly, how I'm supposed to live. Give me the power to steer clear of temptation and to live completely for you. I want your plan for my life, not my plan. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to live a life that represents you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Very cool. Well, let's do this. Let's just close in just a brief chorus real quick. And my beautiful wife will come up here and close us in a song. And if you made a decision tonight, whether it's you gave your life to Jesus tonight or you stood for purity, it would be great if you would find one of the leaders around the room. In fact, leaders, why don't you just get up and spread out real quick? And if you need to find somebody, talk to them, say, hey, what do I do next? It would be great if you would talk to them. You guys have a blessed night, and let's just close with some worship.
You guys want to stand?